morning, and welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I'm your host, Kate Ariano, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. UConn officials announced to staff members Tuesday in an email that spring semester classes will continue to be held in a variety of formats, including in-person, online, and a mix of the two. News editor Ashley Anglisano writes that professors must submit their course format by September 25th and have up until October 19th to make changes. The email from Provost Carl Lunds and Vice President Nathan First said, "This is the most prudent approach to take at this time, given how many variables could change regarding COVID-19 spread and mitigation efforts in the U.S. over the next several months." Anglisano writes that fees for the upcoming semester are also being discussed. Dining services have announced that they will be providing students with reusable bags today to use at the dining halls, according to Daily Campus staff writer Thomas Alvarez. He writes that Dennis Pierce, executive director of dining services, estimated that an average of 5,555 meals are taken out every day, each one with its own paper bag. Bags will be distributed as you swipe into your dining hall in order to keep a record of every student who has received a bag. Pierce said that it's a step in the right direction and encourages students to try to remember their bags when going to the dining halls. He said, "It's that kind of material that will fold up really, really small, so it won't take up a lot of space in a backpack or in a pocket." Husky's Bar and Restaurant and Husky's Tavern have been temporarily shut down by the local health department due to a violation of safety changes. Daily Campus news correspondent Nyla Suleiman writes that some of the tables had been moved closer than the required 6 feet distance from the chair backs, according to partial business owner Don Prokop. She writes that the restaurant moved a few tables to create more space and added a host to ensure customers are complying with the regulations. Prokop said, "At best, people will be given one warning. Because the responsibility of the compliance falls on the business, they will be asked to leave." A new treatment for colorectal cancer containing an oncolytic virus that would specifically attack cancer cells is in the works, thanks to a partnership between UConn Health and Carigen Corporation. Henry Culp of the Daily Campus reports that the treatment, CARG-2020, is intended to prevent a cancer tumor from regrowing after the patient has gone into remission due to other treatments like chemotherapy or surgery. According to Dr. Kepeng Wang of UConn Health and Dr. Bijan Almasayan, co-founder, president, and CEO of Carigen, "To the best of our knowledge, no other oncolytic immunotherapies work as broadly as CARG-2020. According to the American Cancer Society, colorectal cancer, which includes colon cancer and rectal cancer, is the third most commonly diagnosed cancer of men and women in the United States. And now, here's some weather for your weekend. It's going to be mainly partly cloudy skies through the afternoon and clear up a bit as we head into the evening tonight. Some low 70s will bring us into Saturday before we cool down just a bit more into the high 60s. We'll have clear skies all weekend with a high of 74 on Sunday and a slight wind chill of 10 miles per hour. That's all the news we have this week. Now, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. Okay, so today I'll be talking with my old news director, the incredible Daniela Doncel. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Oh my gosh, it feels so strange being back.
I know, we're going to be talking about UConn, talking about your new job.
So many things.
And yeah, I can't wait to hear everything that you've been doing since you left UConn.
It's been, you know, since I've left UConn, the world has changed quite a bit.
Oh yeah. Past 2 years, it's been crazy.
It's been crazy, yeah.
So you graduated in 2019, correct?
Yes.
And what was your major?
I majored in journalism and French, and I did a concentration in creative writing.
Gotcha. And you did go to France, correct?
I did. I studied abroad for a semester in Paris, and it was a fantastic time. I loved every second of it. And sometimes I still wish I can go back.
Maybe after all this is over, you and I can take a trip to France. We'll do a little France-Paris tour. We'll go to Spain. It'll be great.
I would love that.
So when did you start working at WTIC, where you are employed right now?
Oh, man. I started... So funny story, actually. I was around last summer, I started looking around for jobs, and I really wanted to stay in Connecticut. I wanted to stay local, and I started looking around, and I was having no luck whatsoever. I was even applying to newspapers, even though I'm more of a broadcasting reporter, and I just kept looking and looking, and there was a point where I was just like, I'm done. Like, forget this. I can't find anything. And one random night, my friend texted me literally at midnight and was like, hey, I found this awesome posting. I think it would be perfect for you. Mm-hmm. And me, half asleep, I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'll apply. So I, like, sent in my stuff. And I'm
at
just
midnight?
Like, yeah, whatever. Literally at midnight.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Yes, and sent it in, thought nothing of it, and then I think it was either the day after or the next day after that, I got a response for an interview, and I was like, oh, okay. And so I had to do not a test, it was more just like, they wanted to see how I sounded on the air, so I had to do a little demo for them, and then eventually I did get the job, and I started working part-time there as a weekend anchor. That was in late July, early August is when I started training and started working, and so that was last year. So it's been a full year. I worked there for weekends, so I was only working once a week. It was very... it was a fun experience. I've had a lot of fun times there late at night. And then I finally, a lot of things were changing in the station. I was able to get a full-time position as a reporter there. And I just started that February 10th. So literally this year, months ago. And I started, it was the day, actually, it was our 90th anniversary, actually, being on the air, I think. 90th, 95, something like that. But it was an anniversary, so I was just like, oh, how fitting. So
yeah, what a great way to celebrate with a promotion.
Exactly. No, it was great. It was so much fun, and I've been there ever since, and it's been quite the experience.
So you're a news reporter for them, right?
I am news reporter, and I still anchor on the weekends. I still anchor sometimes during the weeks, and but mainly I'm a reporter. Yeah.
Gotcha. So take us through your daily routine. Like, what does it look like being Daniela, the news reporter at WTIC?
Oh, man. Well, there are two versions of the daily routine.
All right, first pre-COVID version.
So pre-COVID version was great. I would start off my morning heading to work. I always listen to a podcast, The Daily. It's kind of just like in me now. Love The Daily. And I'll listen to it to kind of get myself in the right headspace. And I'll go home. Usually I'll get an email in the morning telling me what's kind of going on in the state and what we're kind of covering. And I'll usually be directed to go somewhere. Nice thing about the daily routine is that you don't know where you're going until the morning of.
Yep.
So there will be mornings where I have to head off to New Haven to cover a press conference. Some days I'll have to go to the Capitol. Those days I'll have to dress up kind of nicer than usual. So usually it kind of depends. Sometimes I'll have the company car, sometimes I won't. So, you know, daily it's a changing thing, but most of the time it'll be, you know, I go out, I'll cover whatever story it is. I'll usually write on location to make sure I get it, because I'm trying to get it on the air as fast as I can, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So, and then usually by like the end of the day, at least by the end of my work shift, I'll be back at the station and I'll be helping out the evening people, making sure that they have enough material for the evening, getting the website updated, that kind of thing. And then I'll be heading home. So that routine was really nice because it was very, there was a lot of variation. I didn't know what to expect. It was very nice. And, I could, you know, explore Connecticut while I was working on stories. I got to meet a lot of other people who are also reporters working for other news outlets. And that was always a interesting thing. I learned a lot from them. Mm-hmm. And so that was very nice. When I got to COVID age, however, past everything, once everything was kind of, you know, set in stone, locked down, because the transition from when COVID really started picking up actually took a little while. Like, at first, I wasn't allowed into the station, but I was still going out to cover stories. And I was still coming in to weekend anchoring. Then I had to be kicked out of anchoring. They had to give me some, you know, I had to get a microphone and some stuff to anchor from home. I had to get some new programming for my computer, all that stuff. Eventually, they told me, okay, no more going out. You're going to have to stay home. So it was like a gradual process before I was locked down at home. Now, you know, my daily routine looks a lot different. Now I go straight to my desk, still get the emails in the morning, but this time it's all usual phone calls. I'll get phone calls, I'll have to send out some phone calls. I'll have to, you know, get into some Zoom meetings. Got a lot of recording with not as great, you know, equipment that I usually have at the station. So it's been a lot of, you know, learning, a lot of curves that I have to get around. And, you know, in the end, I mean, it still works, right? I'm still anchoring from home. I'm still writing from home, still updating the website from home. It's just, it's been an adjustment. And, you know, I definitely miss what I had before this, even though I'd really only had that routine for about 2 months before everything started to really hit the fan. But I had gotten so used to it so quickly that now I'm here and it feels very, I keep telling this to my friend, like, it feels like I'm back at school. Like, it feels like I'm back at, like, just getting assignments done and getting them up on time. So,
yeah, because as far as, you know, what you've been doing, like you said, it was only 2 months that you had, like, the normal way of doing this job. You've been spending more time in COVID era doing this job than real world.
Exactly. And it's very strange. And I actually, a couple months ago, I read a New York Times article where they kind of explored this, actually, of, like, college students who were getting into the field of their career for the first time and realizing and then coming back home to their childhood home and, like, going back to their bedroom and having to do this, like, whole transition from their room. It feels strange, and it's so stunted, and it's so, I mean, it's a wild ride, and you're kind of just have to, you know, figure it out along the way.
Yeah. No. And something that I've noticed is, so I'm doing all my classes online. I'm at home this semester.
Right.
So something that I've noticed is, when I'm home, I feel like I shouldn't be working, you know, like, I'm home, I should be spending time with my family. And now most nights I don't even get to say goodnight to everyone before they go to sleep because I'm just working and I'm just doing schoolwork. And that's how it was up at school. You know, I was working late into the night, but I didn't need to say goodnight to anybody. So I never really noticed. And it's just become so apparent now.
And same for me here. I mean, I very much have a strong belief in, like, keeping home and work life separate. Like, kudos to those who work from home, like, even pre-COVID, like, you know, self-employed people, good for you. But for me, it really works best when I have a space for work and a space for my home life. And that was a really big, it's still an adjustment to me to this day. I still find myself having trouble focusing because my room really is designed to be a cozy atmosphere, to be, like, you know, my safe haven. And I can't really, here I am, you know, working. So, you know, I've experimented, like, moving my, you know, equipment elsewhere in the house and, like, you know, changing out my space. But it's a tough time for everyone. And I feel like, you know, you just have to try and do the best you can. I feel like that's just my one thing nowadays is reminding myself that I'm doing the best I can and given the circumstances that we're in. And that's the best you can do.
Exactly. That's all you can do at this point. So have you been able to go into the office or do anything that you normally would do before COVID since March, April?
No, I have not. I have not been able to go back into the office. I have, not been able to go out, for covering stories just because, you know, I've talked to my news director about it, and she says they're still not they're still not allowing reporters out yet because we do not have the equipment like the TV crews have. Like, if you notice on TV, a lot of TV crew reporters have these long sticks that they use to make sure that they're social distancing and stuff. And we just don't have that. You know, we can't have that. So it makes it a little bit difficult. And because we're audio only, I mean, it makes it a lot easier. Like, we can just stay at home and record stuff, especially because a lot of stuff is, you know, online anyway. Yeah. So, you know, it works out for us. And if they don't have to risk anyone's health, then they won't.
Yeah.
So I think that's their mentality there. I think the only thing that really has stayed constant, if you will, is I still call into the station to double check everything's working all right and make sure, you know, do you need me to cover anything or anything like that? And I still have like nice conversations with my coworkers over there. But I mean, to be honest, I do miss them because, you know, even though I had just started, I was like sort of starting to kind of get a rapport with all of them. And now it's even more difficult to even get that rapport going.
Yeah.
Because I'm at home. So that's been another thing that's kind of been, you know, I keep thinking about the day that I'll be going back, should that day ever come. And, you know, in my head, I'm just like, God, I'm going to feel like a puppy again. I'm going to feel like the newbie again.
Exactly.
Because I was hardly there.
But, so, you know, and now you've got all this experience that you're going to be able to come back and, you know, people are going to be able to see the progress that you've made, even if you haven't made those relationships just yet or as deeply as you wanted to right now.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's something I forget to even tell myself and, like, think about myself. It's just like, yes, I'm working from home, but I'm still using all the skills that I've learned and building new skills to do the job that I need to do.
Exactly.
I mean, especially nowadays when, you know, there will be days where I can't contact anyone. No one's answering the phone. No one's, you know, something's
tell
going
me about
wrong.
It.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It's
the worst.
It really is. The struggles of a journalist, man.
Right.
And so, you know, those are the days where I just kind of have to buckle down and really try and get some material out there. And, you know, those are the moments where I'll remind myself, like, you know, you're doing a good job. You're doing really well.
Yeah.
So,
do you think UConn and, you know, studying journalism here, do you think that could have ever prepared you for what you're doing now and how you're working now?
Oh, man, I don't know. I don't think so. Well, so funny enough, I always think about when I did study back at UConn, all I can remember is being told you have to get out there. You have to go out into the world and you have to be there and report the story. Otherwise you're not reporting the story well. Like, you're not getting certain details.
Exactly.
You could be getting, especially with radio, when you do want ambient sounds and stuff to kind of get people to feel what it is that's going on around you. And so I'm literally, I can't do that. I can't do that in this scenario. And so I'm just like trying to think back to like when I studied over there, and I'm just like, I just remember like I was all over campus getting stories and talking to people, covering, you know, whatever, marches, events. Even when it was just an interview, I would do the interview somewhere else on campus. You know, it wasn't through the phone.
Yeah.
And so I think journalism is very much a career where you do need to be present to really get a full scope of what it is, the story that it is that you're covering.
Yep.
And I think a lot of journalists are not struggling with doing that, this with all that's going on, because there are a lot of journalists who are going out still and doing all these things. But I notice on Twitter, a lot of the reporters who are more like me, who are staying at home, are, you know, setting up their phone to record on like a stack of books. And, you know, they're doing all these little things that they can to still make the quality reporting that they can in the situation that they have. So it's been very interesting to see how people adapt to everything. And then, and me especially, and just like looking at that as well, I think everyone, I mean, everyone's struggling, right? There's no question that there's not one person on this planet who is struggling right now. And I think when people are, you know, looking to the news and looking to everything, they probably forget that behind all that news is someone who probably is also struggling mentally. And they unfortunately do not sometimes have the choice to turn off the radio station or the TV and cleanse their brain a little bit of all that's going on, you know? And so I think that's something that journalists have also had to really think about is how are you going to give yourself a break so you don't lose your mind?
Of course, yeah.
you know, like
I feel like even when we're not in the COVID era, I keep saying area, just like everything that goes on and the news, like I said before, the news stops for nobody. And, you know, being a journalist, you have to understand that your work doesn't stop when you clock out at 5. You still need to know what's happening. You're still, you might be called in because something big is happening, you know?
Perfect.
You can never completely push out of your mind. And I just find it really interesting seeing, you know, I'll follow, like, news reporters on Instagram and, like you said, Twitter and stuff. And, like, seeing how these people carry themselves in their daily routines and seeing them make that time for self-care and, you know, keeping themselves sane, it's given me a lot of tips. You know, I think it's great that people are able to share that and help one another in the industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's something that I've had to learn as well, because it's true. You can't just turn off, you know. I try my very best to, you know, when the clock does strike and I'm off my shift, to kind of separate myself, give myself that time away. But, you know, my phone is still on and the anchor can call me at any time and tell me, hey, I need someone to cover this and there's no one else available. Can you do that? You know? Yeah. So, you know, and this is obviously not just a journalist thing. I mean, this happens for everyone, of course. But I feel like when it comes to journalists in particular, it's so easy to separate the human from the reporter.
Yeah.
It's so easy to just kind of see them as the voice and the one who's just projecting the news onto you. And it's even more difficult when you do have such a divisive stance in the country on journalism and on news.
Yeah.
And it makes it even more difficult to want to get up in the morning and do your job and do it well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, props to us who do get up in the morning and still make sure that we get the facts right and we get it out in the world. And during these difficult times, you know, it's all we can do is make sure that you know what's going on. We're not going to tell you what to do, but we're telling you what other people are doing in your community to either make this situation better, or I don't know. We're here to tell you what it is that the community is doing in these times so that you can do your part in either participating or understanding, or just, that's all we're trying to do. We're just trying to get the news out to you so that you know and you're not clueless as to what it is that's going on in the world.
Yeah, you know, you're just out here doing your job, and like you said, it can be so easy for people to separate, you know, what I'm reading right here, oh, this wasn't written by a human with needs and struggling through a pandemic, but it was, you know, someone took a lot of time to put into that article. It wasn't computer generated like some of them are.
Exactly.
Which baffles my mind how they even do that. But regardless, you know, everything you said, it's right on the ball. So I just wanted to ask, do you have any kind of like motivating quotes or things that you've kind of tried to live by in the last, you know, 5-6 months to get you through all this and help motivate you to get out of bed and do that reporting and get those facts right and do it for the community?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I mentioned the abridged version. But it really is as simple as do your best, do what you can with what you have, and know that that's enough. I think that just kind of really embodies what it is that I'm trying to remind myself and hopefully remind others. Because I have friends all the time who are all other journalists who will just message me and, you know, they'll kind of rant a little bit or they'll, you know, voice their concerns and their worries. And I'll just kind of remind them. It's, you know, it's really hard to be positive, yeah. You know. I'm personally not a fan of positive affirmations because I think they're kind of dumb and I just find them, I think of them as like word bandages, mm-hmm. like they're just kind of like there to cover something up and you know, it's a pretty bandage. It looks really cute, but is it really doing anything? You're going to have to rip it off eventually. The stars, you know, whatever's under it, it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think a better way of helping others and helping yourself is just acknowledging what it is that's happening, accepting it at face value and hoping that there will be better in the future. And I think that's a much better way of facing any struggles that you have going on. So I think just reminding yourself to do the best that you can, do what you can with what you have, whatever it may be, and knowing that that's enough. That's the best you can do. And so I think that's just a much better way of, you're not ignoring the situation. I'm not saying positive affirmations ignore things. It's more of a, you're acknowledging what it is that's happening. You're giving it the intention that it needs to be like, you're not going to control me. I know you're here, but this is what I'm choosing to believe in, rather than I'm just going to paste something on so I don't have to think about this right now. And so that's really something that's gotten me through the days and through the months and it's going to keep me going through this year.
And that's so helpful because it doesn't just apply to what you're doing. That applies to everybody, you know, no matter what you're doing in this pandemic, no matter what you're working on, it's so important to acknowledge what's going on because it's not going away anytime soon from what we can see. So, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a denial almost that like things are okay when they're not, and that's okay. You know, one of my favorite things that I've seen lately is like, it's okay to not be okay right now. Like give yourself that leeway.
Absolutely.
You know, that's so important to acknowledge.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much. Thank you. You know, I haven't talked to you in a little while, so it was great to catch up. And, you know, it's been awesome being able to hear a journalist's perspective on covering the pandemic and working through the pandemic. And, you know, how coming from UConn might have influenced that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so great to come back and kind of do like a little full circle more than a year later.
Yeah.
Come back onto something that, you know, I like to think is like my little legacy that I left behind at UConn. And, you know, coming back to it, it's very heartwarming and very fun. And so I hope, who knows where the future is going to take us, but I'm thinking for all of us, it's going to make us better people and stronger people.
You're absolutely right with that. Well, enjoy your day, and we will talk soon.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Bye, Daniela.
Bye.
I just want to thank Daniela Dunsell again for talking with me. She was my first news director ever at WHUS, and it was really awesome to talk to her and see her perspective on things of covering the pandemic and working through the pandemic. Thank you all for listening on this show. Thank you to The Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us, and thank you to Ethan Smith, the creator of our theme music. I've been your host, Kate Ariano, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Have an awesome day.